On Sunday, basketball star Kobe Bryant was killed in a helicopter crash in Calabasas, California. Bryant was 41. 8 others, including his 13-year-old daughter Gianna, died in the accident. Tributes have been pouring in for the Lakers legend.
We all feel a deep sense of loss for what he meant to all of us in so many ways, and so many millions of people loved him for so many different reasons.
This was a man for all seasons. He was more than an iconic basketball player. He was someone who inspired millions of fans all over the world.
Today is one of the saddest days in my lifetime. It seems like a bad dream that you just want to wake up from. It's a nightmare.
Today, we're joined by ESPN's Ramona Shelburne, who covered Bryant for 15 years. Ramona, where are you right now?
You know, I'm sitting in my car outside the Mamba Academy in Thousand Oaks, and there's like hundreds of people here putting flowers down, just kind of trying to cope with the news here. And this is, you know, the academy he started, where he was on his way here for a basketball game. And he was here all the time out in Thousand Oaks. There's a lot of people who know him. I'm just seeing a lot of young women walking up and down the street, just sad, wearing their Kobe jerseys. I think everyone in Los Angeles right now, really around the world, but especially right here where Kobe's been, he was a young man when he was drafted by the Lakers. And so he became a man here. He became an old man here, right? He retired here. I mean, people feel like they knew him their whole life. And so I've been kind of all over today, going to the crash site and seeing that helicopter still smoldering on the hillside. With Laker fans and just not even Laker fans, just everybody who knew, who heard about it. People kind of needed to go and witness it to believe that it was true. And even then, honestly, it doesn't feel like it really happened.
When did you first hear the news?
You know, I was home playing with my son this morning, and my friend just got an alert on her phone. She wears an Apple Watch. And got an alert when TMZ posted the story, and I dropped my phone and I started calling everybody that I knew close to Kobe to, you know, you go into reporter mode because you got to confirm it and find out what happened and what's going on here. And it was, you know, right about 11:30 when this all happened. And so immediately, like, I think I was shaking, Nina, when I heard this. And it's really hard to process that Kobe's gone, and then to find out how many other people are gone along with him, with his daughter, Gianna, Gigi. God, he was always telling me about Gigi. He was so, so proud of her. Like, he was always picturing her in the WNBA. You know, she's already verbally committed to UConn, right? I mean, he was so proud of her, and they loved talking basketball. Like, she had that same drive and ferocity that he did, and you could just tell how much he was beaming about her. And, you know, over the years, especially since he's been retired, like, Kobe and I have stayed in touch and connected, you know, as we're about the same age, right? We have respect for each other professionally, but I think it's become more of a friendship since he retired. He's always telling me about his kids. Like, that's just what he was doing now. You know, he was either, whenever I would text him or call him, he was always at the office working or at one of his kids' basketball games or choir practices or, you know, something with kids. Like, and like, that was his life right now. And I can't believe at 41 that his life is over. I actually told him at one point, like, hey man, just enjoy your retirement. Slow down a little bit. Like, you're in the office all the time. You're working. And he just had so much that he was doing. And I'm glad he didn't slow down. You know, we have a lot that he's written and said and done to remember him by. And I think his legacy will only grow with time.
Ramona, when the news broke, there were a lot of conflicting reports, confusion about who was on the helicopter. We now know that Kobe's 3 other daughters and his wife, Vanessa, were not in the accident. When you got to Calabasas, what did you learn?
Well, you know, initially, I talked to some of the residents. There's a couple apartment buildings right around there, and some people who had heard and seen the crash. And one man told me he heard the helicopter and he saw it flying low, and then he just heard this falling sound, and he knew something was really wrong. And he had been on the phone at the time, so he went outside and saw the smoke and the brush fire. You know, when something like this happens, like, everybody wants answers. Everybody wants to know, like, was it the fog, you know, the weather conditions? Was it the helicopter? I mean, look, there's no way to process this.
What do we know right now about the other passengers on the flight?
Well, we know his daughter Gianna was there, and then the manifest of the helicopter said there were 9 people aboard, and that's part of what is so sad about this is that, you know, they were on their way to a basketball event, and this is just like a Sunday with the family for a lot of different families here.
As we're talking, I'm seeing footage from outside the Staples Center. There's hundreds and hundreds of fans putting up sort of makeshift memorials. You just described what's happening at the Mamba Academy, his basketball school. How is the city of Los Angeles taking this?
I mean, honestly, it feels like this giant hole in the city right now. Like, LA watched Kobe grow up. LA watched Kobe through the best of his life and the worst of his life. You watched him come back from injuries. You watched him as an old man. You watched him grow old, not especially gracefully. And then you watched him have this sublime last game where he scores 60 points on 50 shots. I mean, I don't think I've ever seen Staples Center that electric. And I've been there when the Lakers won the NBA championship. It was never like it was the night he scored 60. It was unbelievable. And LA kind of feels like they know him. LA kind of feels like he's their guy. And, you know, maybe it's the same as New York feels about Derek Jeter. It feels like that. And I think people are still in shock, to be honest. Like, it doesn't feel real. Like, it feels like you're going to wake up and that was a hoax or a bad dream. But it obviously is. And I think that's why everybody's coming to the Mamba Academy or the Hillside in Calabasas, just to kind of witness this and process.
4 years ago, you wrote about Kobe. I just reread the story. And the first line is, Kobe Bryant wants to talk about what comes after death. You're talking about basketball death there, because you were spending the last few weeks, months of his career with him. But it's reading that now, it's just haunting.
Honestly, when I first wrote it, it was life after his death as a basketball player, right? And it felt like he had been so obsessed with basketball, like, what was he going to be afterwards? How could he be anything afterwards? The one thing that I think is so incredible about Kobe is he was the author of his own legend. I mean, how most people hire really fancy advertising firms to write their commercials and to build their brand and all that. Kobe did that all himself. Kobe knew how to be a legend and walk as a legend and talk as a legend. That's what's going to continue. You know, that's the legacy that he's going to leave.
The best teams start with great talent. But finding the right people can be a challenge. I mean, just ask the New York Knicks. When it comes to hiring for your business, ZipRecruiter can help you find the right candidates for your team fast, from healthcare to manufacturing to business services and more. And now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/ESPNDaily. ZipRecruiter sends your job to over 100 top job sites, but they don't stop there. With their powerful matching technology, ZipRecruiter scans thousands of resumes to find people with the right skills and experience for your job and actively invites them to apply. You can even add screening questions to your job listing so you can filter candidates and focus on the best ones. ZipRecruiter is so effective that 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. And right now, to try ZipRecruiter for free, my listeners can go to ZipRecruiter.com/ESPNDaily. That's ZipRecruiter.com/ESPNDaily. ZipRecruiter.com/ESPNDaily. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Ramona, when did you first hear about Kobe Bryant?
You know, I was in high school, and Kobe, I think Kobe's 1 year older than me. I remember when Kobe took Brandy, the pop star, to the prom. And it was like, he was just like Kobe being Bryant at the time, right? And that's partially why Los Angeles always felt so connected to him is that he showed up, he was like 17. You know, he was like a kid. And I was basically the same age going through about the same stuff in my life. I went off to college for 4 years afterwards. And then I came back and started working at the LA Daily News in 2002. Right around that, I mean, probably the first year I was there, I went out to some Laker games and started covering him. And it was weird covering somebody my own age. Sometimes when an athlete is really famous, especially when you're young, you're a little intimidated. But I don't think I ever felt that way with Kobe because he was a contemporary. We always had that same kind of connection because we were both at similar stages in our lives. And I think that's what, towards the end, when we had this, when we were working on that long story at the end there, I actually asked him, I said, you know, why did you decide to tell me things? Why did you decide to open up? Why did you decide to let me write this story? He just said, I could tell you really cared about your job and you're really into it. You had a lot of passion for it. And I think that was him. Like whenever he saw somebody with passion and somebody who wanted to be great at something, he just wanted to nurture that. Hmm. That's how you connected with Kobe.
So he was the youngest player ever in NBA history. And you know, when he came into the league at age 18, what were those first few years like?
You know, he was like this punk kid. You know, like he didn't even start. Okay, you remember? Do you remember, like, people forget this? Like, Kobe didn't start for a while. He was coming off the bench, and then when he finally did play this big role, you know, he had this really high profile failure against the Utah Jazz in the playoffs. Remember, he started airballing. I remember watching that game, and it was like there was one airball. And then there was another air ball. And then it was like, oh my God, is he going to air ball again? And he failed, like big time belly flop, right? Against the Utah Jazz. You know, the first few years, it was really like the Lakers had Kobe and Shaq and it took them a while to win. There wasn't immediate success. Kobe had to get better. And you know, the famous story I've heard, I think Tracy McGrady told me this, was that he worked out with him around that same time. They were contemporaries, they were friends. And as soon as when Kobe came back from Utah after that belly flop, he was just in the gym like that night. Like, he was out in like the Palisades and he was shooting all night long. And instead of making it personal, like I'm not capable, I am a failure, he said, oh, there's something I can work on and that will never happen to me again.
He does turn it around. They have a three-peat. But then in the early 2000s, Ramona, things started to fall apart. In 2003, Kobe was accused of sexual assault. The criminal case was dropped, but he issued an apology and settled out of court. The team came up short in the finals. Phil Jackson was let go. And then he released the book where he famously called Kobe uncoachable. What happened next for him?
Well, you know, I think Colorado is something that, you know, right now, on the day he dies, a lot of people are probably not going to want to talk about this part. It's hard to make sense of something that, you know, years later has become something that we think about differently, we talk about differently. It almost wrecked his life. And then, you know, there was another person involved here. There was a woman involved here, and this probably defined her life too. Right now you reflect on that part of his life and career. And obviously the Laker dynasty broke apart after that. They lose to the Pistons in the finals. Shaq's traded to Miami. Phil leaves, writes this tell-all book, calls him uncoachable. Kobe jokes around about it that he didn't need to be coached because he's always going to be the hardest coach on himself. He's always going to, you know, like he joked towards the end, like, you know, I just let Phil think he was coaching me, right? Like that was his attitude about it, right? But he also was in a place in his life where I think he needed to prove to himself that he could win without Phil, that he could win without Shaq, that he could win without everything else. Kobe and I had talked about it at one point. Like, I think they probably wished they would have stayed together, that they would have figured it out, that they could have kept winning together. Because he appreciated it, you know, once Shaq was gone, what they had together. But they go out and win two more championships. That was Kobe proving to himself that he could lead a team, that he could do this all himself.
What were the final years of his career like?
Kobe was really just playing way too many minutes, pushing himself. And then, of course, he tears his Achilles. And then afterwards in the locker room, he knew he was done. I mean, he knew there were Achilles. And he came back. He worked hard when he first got back to the court. And he was a couple games in, and his body hurt really bad after every game because he was not quite in shape and he was older. We were supposed to do an interview like when he got back to L.A., and I was like waiting for him to text or call or whatever it was. We were doing something for a Christmas game.
And he doesn't call or text. And I go, hey, is everything okay? What's going on? And he goes, I'm at the doctor. You know, I think I played that whole second half on a broken kneecap. I mean, honestly, that's when I think he decided that, you know, he started thinking about life after basketball. He started thinking about legacy. I think he knew his body was breaking down. He talked to Michael a lot about this. I know they met several times in and around this time. And Michael gave him a lot of advice and they talked a lot. And Kobe was just determined not to have basketball be the end of his story. And he started plotting his post-basketball life, really, after that Achilles injury.
This weekend, LeBron James passed Kobe on the all-time scoring list. And, you know, he talked about him and reflected on his career. And this was, of course, before he passed away. Since then, players across the league, coaches, owners have all sort of been expressing their grief and discussing Kobe's legacy. What do you think that legacy is with players around the NBA?
I mean, I talked to Joel Embiid today, Mina, and he texted and said, like, please tell me this isn't true. And I said, man, I'm standing where the helicopter crashed and looking at it right now, and I still don't believe it. And we got on the phone just briefly, and I could tell he was emotional. I was emotional. And he just said, I wouldn't be here without Kobe. You know, he watched Kobe in the finals as a boy growing up in Cameroon, and he just saw the way that Kobe played, that mentality, that ruthlessness, the fearlessness. And he saw it and he just said, I want to be that. I want to be that guy. And he had never played basketball before. He just saw Kobe in the finals and thought, I want to be that guy. I think it's that will, that indomitable will. Like, nothing is too big, you can overcome it. And man, I think that's the legacy. You know, that's what we'll be talking about for years to come.
Thanks so much, Ramona.
Thanks, Mina.
Now you can win a $250,000 home renovation designed by the Scott Brothers in an ADT smart home security system. To enter, just head to ADT.com/passtheprotection and tell us what you want to protect. A beautiful home is great, but a safer home is even better. Now's your opportunity to get both. The winner and the winner's home will be featured in an ADT video with the Scott Brothers. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Ends March 16th. Must be 18 or over and a homeowner as of February 1st, 2020. To learn more about the contest and read the official rules, go to ADT.com/passtheprotection.
Here are more stories about Kobe I want you to know. From Lakers fans who gathered at the Staples Center to mourn him.
Kind of feels like an end of an era, like when you grew up, 3-peat, Kobe, LA all day. And it's like, really, Kobe meant family, like growing up. My dad passed in 2006, so my best childhood memories are watching the Lakers with my dad, who was a diehard Kobe fan, Lakers fan. So, yeah.
Been a Lakers fan since I was knee high when he got drafted. Kobe was more than just a ball player. He was a role model, you know. He was like a pops to me, almost damn near to it, you know, like a father figure. I always looked up to Kobe, you know, when I wanted to not go to school or when I wanted just to quit, you know, finish it, give it your all.
You know, he represented my whole life basically since I was 8 years old. When I got with my husband, it was like we were both Laker fans. We turned our children into Laker fans. Kobe was just that representation of the Lakers, and more as a human, you know, having been through what he went through with his wife. And as a woman, I can relate to her, and him as a man, you know, took it above and beyond to better himself in every aspect of his life.
Kobe was like mostly a part of my childhood. Like, if you ask my dad, one of my very first words was Kobe. So he just felt like a really big part of my life. He felt like a huge inspiration, and he felt like a really big part of the Lakers, too.
Well, I was born and raised in L.A. When I was 8 years old, I started watching Kobe and Shaq, and they were coming up. And he's everyone else are great, but his mentality, how competitive he was, how he will wake up at 5 a.m. to go and train the greatest Laker ever. I already cried. I'm not going to lie to you. Been wearing my jersey, and I'm here to show my respects to him.
I think it's bigger than just the NBA. I believe his legacy as a human being is going to be monumental. You know, like everything that he already done while he was here, set an example, leaving it all on the floor, is just how everybody should live their life.
I'm Mina Kimes, and this has been ESPN Daily. I'll talk to you tomorrow.